In the name of our God, who is a mighty fortress, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Peter came up to Jesus and said, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven." Dear Saints, today we observe Reformation Day, a festival a little less than 500 years old. And it is a day in which Lutheran churches around the world and across time gather to celebrate the freedom of the gospel, the freedom of the full and the complete forgiveness of sins, the freedom that we are saved by grace through faith for Christ's sake alone. We celebrate the freedom that God gave us in holy baptism and the freedom that we still have it in baptism. For we don't say, "I was baptized," but "I am baptized. I am God's child. I am free and forgiven." We celebrate the freedom that God gave us his only begotten Son, and that the blood that was shed on the cross, he in fact pours into our mouths for the forgiveness of all of our sins. We celebrate the law, which shows us our sin. No way out for you. No excuses for you. For we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped. Shut your mouths. No excuses are good enough. The whole world held accountable to God. Do not bring your excuses here. Leave them at the door. Confess your sin. Know that you are accountable to your judge. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight. That's what matters. His sight, not yours. So that every mouth may be stopped. The law comes knowledge of sin. And dear Saints, we also celebrate the freedom of the gospel, which shows your salvation. For Christ is the way. Not only the way out of sin, but also into the way of seeing what you look like to God. That in God's sight, you are pure and holy, justified, made righteous, declared righteous. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. And we confess that these are freedoms that do not belong to Lutherans only, but to Christians. And we thank God that countless Christians have these freedoms who do not say they are Lutheran. God be praised for that. It is an eternal gospel, not a gospel about 500 years old, an eternal gospel, Miss Diane read. Eternal. And we also lament and cry out that too often those who say they are Lutheran do not believe, teach, or confess, or celebrate the freedoms that they have in the Son of God. Lord, have mercy. But I am Lutheran because of these scriptural truths and these scriptural freedoms. I am a Lutheran because these truths have made me a Lutheran. And that I confess that being Lutheran, that is, of having the small catechism, As a dad, to be able to teach my children the small catechism, the Ten Commandments and the Creed and the Lord's Prayer and the explanations following there, that as a pastor to teach the children the small catechism, of having the small catechism and of having the large catechism and of all of our confessions of faith and of having the liturgy and of having our hymns, and of having our seminaries, and of having our pastors, and of having our people, that these things help me to believe and live in the freedoms that the Son of God has purchased and won for me by the shedding of his precious blood and his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own and live under him in his innocence and righteousness and blessedness forever and ever. And that if you, dear saints, after much, much prayer and much study of the Lord's word, confess that being a Lutheran does not gather, enlighten, and sanctify you in these truths and freedoms the best way possible this side of heaven, then you ought not be one. But as for me and my house, I prefer this very ancient translation of the famous John 8 passage. The one that's on your bulletin cover, the one that's translated on your bulletin cover, that you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I like this translation. That if you know the truth, then the truth will make you a Lutheran. And it is old. That's not a joke. Because the Reformers played on the Greek of the word to be set free. In the Greek, it's eleutheroi. They said, wow, that's Luther right there. That you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth will eleutheroi you. That Luther confessed the truth, because he was set free by the Son of God. And that Luther began the Reformation, we don't say Luther began the Reformation, but God began the Reformation so that these truths could set people free. These truths that always were, that always will be. It is an eternal gospel. But the small catechism says it quite beautifully too. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you a Lutheran. That if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. That if the Son makes you a Lutheran, you are a Lutheran indeed. And we take it seriously. That what makes us Lutherans is not Luther. It is the truth. The Son of God, who purchased our freedom, who gives us the freedom in his law and gospel word proclaimed, in the promises of baptism, in the free forgiveness of all of our sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us, but you are forgiven. You are set free. The Son of God has purchased you. Take and eat. This is the Son of God's body. And take and drink the blood of Christ. The truth that sets you free. And above all the truths is this, dear saints, that the Son of God looks at you and says these words, I promise, I forgive you of all of your sin. And that promise, dear saints, gets us to the heart of Peter's question that he put before Jesus today, and of Jesus' warning that he puts before us today. Peter came up to Jesus and said, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? Jesus said, I do not say to you 7 times, but 70 times 7. Then we hear again the freedom that we have from the Son of God as being sons and daughters of the King, that we can begin to hear how ridiculous Peter's question is. Lord, as you have treated us as your children and not as slaves, for if you sin, you are a slave to sin. But if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Lord, as you have treated us not as the enemies that we rightly deserve to be, for when we were yet enemies, God has reconciled us to himself through the death of his Son. Lord, as you have treated us not with the condemnation and wrath that we deserve. Luther says that if we understand the forgiveness of sins rightly, it would be like loading a gun and giving it into God's hands and trusting that he's not mad at us. That is what you've done today. That you have come into the holy God's presence, who hates sin, who despises sin, who is your judge, and you've begun to confess him and say, here's a bullet, I've done this. Here's another bullet, I've done that. Here's another bullet, I've thought that. Here's a bullet, I should have done that and I didn't did it. Here you are, Lord, here's the gun. This is what I deserved. And then you know that he's not mad at you. That the Son of God has taken on what you deserve. That the wrath of God has been swallowed up in the death of Jesus. That because of Jesus, he says peace to you. Lord, as you have done all of this, how often will I forgive my brother? As many as 7 times? You know he thinks he's being generous. Dear saints, your God is generous. He forgives you countless times. The parable points out that the man owed the king an amazing amount. The whole world held accountable. You cannot possibly repay it. The first servant in the parable owes a ridiculous amount to the king, an amount that would literally take 20,000 lifetimes of work. And then having been forgiven, the text says he finds. And in that word, it means that he was looking for the guy. He went out and found him. It wasn't as if he was just on the street and just happened to see the guy. He went out and sought the guy that had sinned against him, that owed him money. And he begins to choke him. Pay back what you owe. Throw him in prison. All right. The man owed him 100 denarii. That'd take 100 days to repay. That's still a lot, dear saints. If the parable is making that point, it does help you see that the sins that others have committed against you do hurt you. They can pay back money, but they cannot pay back the damage done to your soul. It does hurt. Absolutely. But this man sought the guy. Having been freed, having known he deserved to be put in prison, having known that he deserved the king's wrath, having known that he had a debt that he could not possibly repay, having been freed of all that, he then goes and he seeks the guy. Dear saints, you are free. The truth has freed you. The Son has set you free. Set you free from guilt and of shame and of sin. And it also sets you free from anger and bitterness and resentment. With the wonderful truth, not only that your sins are forgiven, but also the wonderful truth that vengeance belongs to the Lord. And that he is king. And that he's going to take care of everything in the end. You don't have to. Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Did you catch it? He says, my brother. This is about his brother. This isn't a relationship between an employee and an employer where works have to pay, and they do. This isn't a relationship between a citizen and a state where the state has to punish crime for as many as possible to be protected and live a peaceable and quiet life. This is a relationship between brothers. It's family. Your brothers and your sisters out in the world that God has created and the Son of God has redeemed and purchased with his own blood. And for the Christian church, it's all that much more. It is the brothers and sisters in the faith. The ones in which we all set aside and confess our sins together and receive forgiveness together and say, I believe together and say, Our Father together and sit and stand and have a common table together. This is about your brother and about your sister. Don't be tempted to say, How often should I forgive? For the Son of God has set you free. So believe, and live in that freedom. You are a freed, forgiven Lutheran. So then, freely forgive and gladly do good to those who sin against you. In Jesus' name, amen.